This altered the scale of things. The land and its past grew huger and more enigmatic, and myself smaller. The journey became a quest. The worship of Aphrodite and Adonis was strongest in North Lebanon, but their cult pervaded the whole land and might be found in obscure places. So I decided to start out from the fishing towns of the south, Tyre and Sidon and Sarepta, pass eastward into the core of the mountains and the high, shallow valley which the Romans called Hollow Syria, and from there cross to Baalbek and the cedar groves, descending at last to the holy country of Byblos. The search for such many-faceted divinities will entail being led astray, demanding, as it does, a long walk down the corridors of time and thought. The conclusions will be personal, and the quest may be satisfied, as pilgrimages are, as much in its journey as in its end. Chapter 2. The Earth Mother. Her lament is for a great river where no willows grow. Her lament is for a field where corn and herbs grow not. Her lament is for a pool where fishes grow not. Her lament is for a thicket where no reeds grow. Babylonian Hymn, Lament of the Flutes for Tammuz. It is almost spring, and the god has returned to earth. Out of the south to the Taurus Mountains comes a Mediterranean wind. The descent to the sea by all ways is beautiful and solitary, and the river valleys twine slowly down the hills, as if prolonging the prospect of the green Cilician plain. From here the coast curves eastward to Iskenderun and Syria, and meets the Lebanese mountains where they rise from the desert. From Tripolis to Beirut, the shore is suffocated by thriving towns of unrepentant plainness. But a few miles further south, it is given back to rocks and orchards. Lemon groves spread inland, and Sidon stands on the sea. The contrast with Beirut is complete. Poseidon is secretive, and seems to have grown from the waves. At a distance it might, but for its minarets, be any Calabrian fishing town, with mellow walls and tiled roofs. The older city is on the tip of the headland. The sun only reaches it by accident, so narrow are its streets, and the sandstone blocks which the Turks carved shed a soft agelessness. In dark stalls sit craftsmen with deft fingers. Their world is still provincial and oriental. Arabic music sounds from the cafes, and men sit out in the evening in slippers and nightcaps by the balm of the sea. Offshore, a Crusader castle stands, linked to the headland by an arched causeway which has twice been swept away in recent years. On one side, hewn stones stare greenly from the vault of the sea. On the other, a silted reef scatters the waves. The castle has a frail, clean look, and even after one has smoothed one's hands over the thickness of its walls and looked down from the eastern tower, it is hard to envisage it as a building of military strength. On stormy days the sea breaks over its southern ramparts, which have been levelled to a paved quay. Headless lions dance on the consoles of the entrance gate. Rusted cannon nestle in the sand. And in the walls lie grey and pink granite columns, set by the Crusaders against sapping, but brought from Egypt long ago, perhaps for a temple to Melkart, or for that temple of great size owned by the Sidonians, of which Lucian wrote, dedicated to Astarte but now vanished. Sidon seems wholly medieval. Yet the Book of Genesis calls her the firstborn of Canaan, the oldest city of those tribes who crossed the desert in the fourth millennium and whom the Greeks named Phoenicians. It was perhaps they who first brought the great goddess from the east, and it was they who made Lebanon her home and diffused her cult through the Mediterranean. Sidon is built as the Phoenicians loved to build, on a spit of land with an island close by. Here they raised a small port and surrounded it with orchards which are still famous, and on the lower slopes of the hills grew up an inland city. It was not the earliest of the Phoenician towns, but was one of the first to establish a dominion along the coast in a time when history and myth are blended. Belus, the doyen of Phoenician kings, is only another name for Baal.